really nice to worship with you this morning. It's a nice day, isn't it? With a little bit of snow on our car. No, Al, no.
No, it's only October.
Sorry.
If it was December, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so I'm just going to give a few announcements this morning. First of all, please don't forget next Sunday, we turn back our clocks, right? So don't forget that. And also, there's something exciting that's going to go on next Sunday. We have a quintet, a men's quintet coming to, are they leading us in worship or they're just doing
ministry? I guess so, because we have the week off, so.
Yeah. Ah, nice. Okay, so that'll be fun. Something to look forward to, but we'll miss you guys. And then you know about the Bible study groups, and you can read the bulletin on that. But I want to make an emphasis about the shoebox packing party, which is on Saturday, November 10th. And Tanis, thanks so much for all the organizing that you've been doing and the great sign that you did downstairs. Like, we really appreciate that. So that's on November 10th at 4:30. So bring a main dish, we'll eat together, we'll pack the boxes, it'll be a fun time. So, okay, I will turn it over to the worship
team. I have one more announcement.
You have an announcement?
Okay. Not really an announcement. Just a reminder that the pancake breakfast is on November 17th. I've got like two or three people that have offered to help, but we do need, we have lots of cooks, everybody likes to cook pancakes, but we do need people to help clean up after. I mean, it always turns out well and everybody always shows up and people show up, but just to make sure that we have enough people, if you are able to come that day and able to stay and help to do the cleanup, that would be awesome. The setup, I think we're good, but the cleanup is always the not so fun part, right? So.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. I need a Bible. I'm a little unprepared today, so I'm... Should have had, like, Bible sword drill. Who can find it first? Talk amongst your fellows. I'll find it. I'm going to read from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound in all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant in everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing joy. Sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth. So today I didn't actually write anything down. Normally I do. But I don't know if you guys have been watching the news over the last couple of days. But there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of really sad stuff. And what happened yesterday in Pittsburgh in particular, I don't know why, but it just struck me. Because it was a place of worship. And it's really sad and really scary. And I just think, you know, we kind of take that for granted here in North America. And and I don't want to bring us all down because we're here to worship. But at the same time, I think it is important for us to remember, and I was just watching a bit of a news clip on CBC this morning as they were giving an update on what was going on, and whoever the person was that was speaking said, you know, people around the world are joining together in whatever form of worship they do today, this morning, now, since whatever time and whatever time zone they're in. And we just need to take a moment, really, to just to really give thanks that we do have the opportunity to worship freely in the place of worship that we choose, but that we shouldn't take that for granted, and that we do serve a risen Lord and Savior, and He has overcome everything that is happening in the world today. But I think it is important that we remember those individuals that, you know, have paid the ultimate sacrifice for what they believed. But again, I don't want to bring us down. But at the same time, let's just bow in a word of prayer and just. Pray for those individuals and those families and the people that are working to, I guess, bring that investigation to a close. Father God, we do thank you that we are able to come to you in worship today. We just thank you that we have the opportunity and the ability to come and worship. Even though there are things in the world around us that we don't understand and that don't make sense, and there's tremendous anger and violence and just things that are going on that just seem inconceivable to us. But we know that you have already overcome, and that we can find our peace and our joy through you. And we just come before you today, and we just pray for the families of the victims and the individuals that have been affected by this whole horrible tragedy. We just pray that you would touch each one of them and just show them your peace and your love so that they may be able to move on and move forward in whatever it is they need to do. Again, we just thank you for your presence by your Holy Spirit among us today. And just pray that you would continue to be with us and to touch each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great God of heaven and earth, we come to sing your mighty power, your wisdom, your goodness, and your strength. And we come to give thanks for the amazing things you are doing in and through each one of us here today. And this morning, we ask that you would refocus us, reshape us with your shining love, because we want to shine, we want you to shine in our hearts.
Have you ever watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yes.
On TV? The Island of Misfit Toys?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you should be on that island?
Yep.
You're very passionate about this.
We went to Santa's Village.
You went to Santa's Village?
Yeah,
yes.
I saw Rudolph.
Okay, well, that sounds very cool. Okay, so we all kind of belong probably on the, we had guests over last night, we were kind of discussing about that, about in churches and that kind of stuff, how we don't always feel like we kind of fit in. You know, we all have our ways, and I have a lot of ways, but we all have our ways that do things. And then I was looking at, you know, you look at, now I had some salsa, which had more ingredients, but Donna, we ate them. So I had to get spaghetti sauce. So if you look at it, there's about, oh, there must be 15 to 20 ingredients in Hunt's thick and rich original past ourselves. So when you think of it though, when you think of it, right? In life, in the church, in our life, I have a real mixture at work. We have a real mixture of people, and we all kind of maybe feel like the sort of belonging on that island of misfit toys, right? But you know what? God did a reason for that. He made it. Imagine if we were all the same. Imagine if we all played guitar, but we couldn't play the piano. Imagine if we could all play guitar and we couldn't sing. Imagine if we could speak in public. We all want to be at the microphone, you know. But I think what God has done is given us all talents and all ways of contributing to the church, contributing to society. And I think that's cool that we all, the different ingredients he put in this church, that we make us special and that make us reach out to different people in different ways. Like I know it's hard to believe, but I'm very shy. I don't like talking to people I don't know and that kind of stuff. I say I don't like it. I feel difficult talking to people I don't know. Whereas my true love, my wife, she loves talking to people she doesn't know. She's very friendly. So if we had all of me there, we would never talk to anybody new. You know, and you'd be tired of me talking to you because I know you. Whereas Donna likes to talk to people she doesn't know, and it's very cool that she does that. So I think, you know, we all have different talents. We all have different things that we can do. And I think that's what makes the church really cool, that we're sort of a gathering point of all those people with different talents and different skills. So remember that. Next time you think, I don't really fit in, you actually do in your own way, because you're important, because you are important, right? Yeah, see, and you love your sister. You love your sister, right? Yeah. Hey, what do you got there? Candy? No. Okay. It looks like candy. It looks kind of good. Anyways, okay, so before we go downstairs, let's have a word. Let's pray. Okay, we're going to pray. Okay? Dear Jesus, help us as we go to our classes or go back to our seats, and we may learn more about you and feel how important we really are. In the name we ask. Amen.
Been caught in a senseless act of hate crime against the Jews in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh Temple, while they were worshiping and praying. Father, we pray for the families of the 11 who were killed and the 6 who were injured, including the officers. Give them strength and heal those who were injured. I also pray for the shooter, Robert Bowers, that you will open his eyes to what he did and be turned from darkness into light. Father, we don't understand these things sometimes, but we do understand the presence of evil one on this earth. Show us where we can be used as Christian soldiers are in our community and beyond to help turn those things from darkness into light and to speak your son's name. Heavenly Father, we need the outstretching of your healing hands upon our sister Elsa. Elsa has bladder cancer, and you know her body and her situation. We pray that it is your will to restore Elsa's body and heal her bladder. Touch her body and make her well, Lord. Help the doctors and nurses to take care of her, look for her in an excellent way. Give her peace over her situation. And assurance of your holy presence. We pray for Bernie, who lost his brother recently. Strengthen him during this time of loss. He is recovering from illness, also needs your healing presence in his life. Be with Dale as she takes care of him and keep her strong. And I'd like at this time to ask if there's anyone else who is in need of healing prayer. We'd like to pray for you.
Al. I'd like to ask for prayer for Gina from her
shall we? Okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for Gina being here today. And thank you for Al asking for prayer for her. And Lord, I just pray that you will be with her. She has an MRI coming up in it regarding her spinal column. And Lord, I just pray that you will touch her, Lord, that your healing hand will be upon her, that you will give her peace over her situation, and that you will restore her body, Lord. And we believe in your healing hand, your healing touch, Lord. And I pray that Gina will know that too, and I just pray that you will be with the doctors that will be helping her. Lord, may she have peace over her life and over her situation. And we ask for your healing on her, Lord. In Jesus' name. Sorry, Matt.
My sister had a knee surgery. And like the disc was the wrong size, so they replaced it, and she was fine for a while, but then she went into the ER, and she was there for about a day.
What was the situation? What happened?
something wrong with the size of the kneecap.
The knee. Okay.
So she needed it replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And it got replaced. It just wasn't perfect.
Okay. Does anybody feel led to pray? And what is your sister's name?
Leanne? Yep.
Okay. See, Leanne, does anybody feel led to pray for Leanne today? Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, you have a prayer request.
Oh, okay. Now, yes. Did you want to pray for Leanne or just a prayer request?
No, I'm not a Christian.
Okay. What is your prayer request?
I was hoping we could say a prayer for my sister, actually.
Crystal?
She's going through two different things right now, and they're kind of working together. But she's pregnant with twin girls,
yeah.
And she's due very soon. But she's trying to hold off. And unfortunately, over this last week, she lost her very best friend in a car accident to a drunk driver. So she's in a lot of turmoil. She has to attend the funeral on Friday, and I'm just hoping maybe we can all pray for her the strength to keep herself.
And especially, how far along is Crystal?
She's due, her actual due date was December, like for Christmas.
Oh.
But, because it's twins, they have to come early, so they're saying they don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want her to be stressed over all of this, too. What is her friend's name?
Jennifer Dixon.
Jennifer?
Jennifer Dixon.
Okay.
And her family as well,
for sure.
Because, passed suddenly, and her husband is raising 3
kids now. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, thanks for asking for prayer. Would anybody like to pray for Leanne? George, would you like to pray for? Okay.
Margaret, thank you that Matt has been so concerned about his family.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in due time you will work. And in this particular case, for Leanne, we pray that you would heal her in a way that shows your power and it shows Matt's love through you coming to her. So we ask for your grace and your mercy and for your health in the future for her. And thank you in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for Mandy asking for prayer for her sister Crystal, a friend of CBC, and Crystal's pregnant with twins, Lord, and I just pray your blessing upon her because she's heartbroken over her friend's recent accident, Lord. I just pray that you will surround that family with your holy presence. I don't know if they know you, but even if they don't, Lord, I ask that you will be there, and I ask that you will watch over the husband and the children as they, at this time of loss. Please watch over Crystal, and that she won't be too stressed, that you will keep those babies healthy, Lord, as they go through this really terrible, tragic time. And I pray that Crystal will know that she can come to you, Lord, for comfort. Is there anybody else? Can you just give me an update about the back?
They're moving.
I can't hear too well.
They're moving this week. Tuesday is the moving day, so just that mom's back will be okay through all this.
Through the move.
All the support that she doesn't have.
Could do anything. Yeah. Okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for Abigail's request. We believe in the power of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for Elva, Jeff's mom, that you will strengthen her back during this time of moving, Lord, that you will lay your hands upon her back, and Lord, I pray that she can get through this move, that she'll have all the support from the people around her, and that she'll be well by all the help, Lord. Keep her strong in Jesus' name. And Father, make the desires of our hearts to be for your Son, Jesus. Continue to help us seek you out and to grow in a relationship with you. Thank you for this time of prayer. And I pray that you will just have peace. Wash over everybody today, knowing that you are a God who heals and who loves us. And who allows things to happen in our lives for our good, Lord. Help us to know that. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And today is a different service because we're going to have testimonies. I can't wait to hear what the Lord's doing in everyone's life. And so I'm going to hand it over to George.
Thank you, Tammy. Yesterday I was sitting up in Sharon talking to a beekeeper, and I've run out of honey, so I had to buy $650 worth to supply some friends and myself. But there was a new gentleman there who had coffee with us, and I asked him, since he was a new beekeeper, how did you get involved in bees? And he pointed to his friend, James. So it was his friend who interested him with his enthusiasm. And I think that is how the gospel is really shared incarnately. It's like one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread, as one person once said. So I'm going to introduce three different people today, but first I want to quote one of the Psalms. And as Rhiannon so aptly brought to our attention this morning, we are in mourning for the 11 Jews who were killed in their synagogue at worship. And these Psalms are written by Jewish people. They know hardship, but they also know blessing. So I'm going to quote first of all from Psalm 105, the opening verses. And then I'm going to have Rhiannon come and share her testimony. Hallelujah! Thank God. Pray to Him by name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Sing him songs, belt out his hymns, translate his wonders into music. Honor his holy name with hallelujahs, you who seek God. Live a happy life. Keep your eyes open for God, watch for his works, be alert for signs of his presence. Remember the world of wonders he has made, his miracles and the verdicts he has rendered. So, each of these people sharing this morning will be remembering what God has done in their lives, whether it's small, big, past, present, and or ongoing. So, Rhiannon, would you come up?
That was my root. I always felt this sort of pull And anytime anything was going on, I just, even though maybe on the surface I didn't know, I think deep down I did know that God was still there. And even though I felt that I was so far away, that all it would take was just one word from me and he would be there. And so in 2004, I had my son Jacob, which I think most of you, all of you know. And that's actually when I started coming here. And this is my home. So I started coming here, and I met all of you and others who are not here today. And then in 2009, my marriage ended. And that in and of itself, even though it was a really hard time, was probably a good thing. And again, you know, that rearview mirror thing. If that didn't happen, a lot of other things wouldn't have happened. What do you do when you're left with a three-year-old and really no clue how to take care of yourself? You manage, I guess. And again, through support and love of people here, I think I'm okay. But it was a really hard time. And again, it is what it is. It was an interesting time, a difficult time, a scary time. And again, I got myself into some situations that weren't so great. I made some bad decisions. I have some regrets. But again, through all of that time, God was there, and he was guiding me. And again, if I hadn't gone through some of those things, I wouldn't be standing here, and I wouldn't be in the place that I think he needs me to be right now. So I've been through divorce. I've been through job loss 3 times. I've been a single mom and the struggles that come with that. And so I think I know that it's only through God's grace and his teaching me that grace that I've made it as far as I have. God is faithful. And I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that even though all of the things, as some would say, in my young life that I have been through, I have been able to use each and every one of those things, and I said this before, but I have been able to use each and every one of those things that I went through to help someone else, whether it's through this church or through work, or friends that I've been encountered throughout the years. Every single thing that I've been through, I've been able to use that for God's glory. So fast forward to 2012. So I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, but there are no coincidences, there are only God incidences. I
that's true. So I'll say through no coincidence, I met that guy right over there through an online dating site. So I was at the point where I was just like, okay, you know what, I've had enough of this dating thing, it's not working out. They're all like crazy psycho people out there that I just don't want to go there. So I had like 3 days left on my subscription on this online dating site, and I thought, okay, I'm not gonna renew it, I'm just gonna let it go. And God, this is totally up to you. If you want me to meet somebody, fine, I'll meet somebody. And you can talk to Laura, or you can talk to Donna, or you can talk to probably Janice, and they'll tell you all the crazy people that I had encounters with through my dating season. This is weird. But anyway, all learning experiences, I'm sure. But anyway, sorry. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this, so hopefully there's nothing new here. So I passed over his, so I don't know if you're all familiar with online dating, but anyway, you have a picture of the person and a profile and a brief description and like tidbits of information that they want you to know. So I had passed over his particular image and profile a couple of times, like I'd seen it pop up before, but I thought, no, I'm not really interested, so I'm just gonna pass by. But then for whatever reason, again, coincidences or not, with 3 days left in my subscription, I thought, fine, I'll just send him a message. Chances are he's not gonna respond anyway. So I'll just send him a little winky face thing and we'll see where that takes us. Well, that winky face thing turned into emails back and forth, and then a phone call, and then a meeting at Starbucks. And subsequently, I'm sitting here today. But since that time, it hasn't been all rosy and certainly hasn't been all fun and games. We did have to endure some pretty nasty times, pretty bad things because of other people's behaviors, if you will. But I think, again, God is faithful. And he used that situation, or those times and those situations, he's used that for our good. We as a couple have grown stronger together, have grown stronger in our faith. And sometimes, even though I felt like God wasn't listening because things weren't happening the way that we thought they should be happening. Things happen for a reason. So even though things didn't turn out how we thought they might or how we thought they should, I think what I've come to know is, or come to realize, is that I think God is used that situation for us. We both come from a background of relationships that were very broken. And so we struggle, and we still struggle with the same things and trying not to repeat past mistakes. We still have fights and arguments about the same thing we were talking about 5 years ago. But it is our love for one another and for God that has definitely got us through. Again, we're like any other family, we still struggle. I still struggle with work, with kids. And I think most importantly, the question I keep asking myself is, am I doing what God wants me to do? So I guess I'll close, because I'm pretty sure I've rambled on and gone way over the amount of time that you still said I'm gonna have.
But I would ask for prayer. I am kind of at a turning point, I feel like, in my life where I don't know what I'm doing, what God has sent me here to do. So I'm, you know, exploring different avenues and ideas. So I don't usually ask for prayer, but I will ask that you please pray for guidance, discernment, wisdom, and that stuff. Also for our kids, Jacob, who will be turning 14 in a couple months. He's not very interested in the whole church thing. So I would just ask for prayers for that. And Liam and Ethan, I'm not sure where they fit in the whole thing, but which is, it's not easy being a teenager in 2018. It's not easy being 39 in 2018, but I think Liam and Jacob have both started grade 9 in high school, and that's a whole other ballgame that I certainly don't envy. But they're searching for something, you can tell, and so I just ask for prayers for them.
Okay, I'm going to stop. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Thank you, Rhian. You know, when you get up here and you share some vulnerabilities in your life, it's not easy, as Rhian said. And we learn from each other. We learn from each other. And if you aren't vulnerable, there's no pathway to learn. So thank you very much, Rhian. Let's take a moment and pray for Rhian. Lord, thank you so much for Rhian's transparency. Thank you that you have met her at every turn in her life, even when she's been far from you. Thank you for bringing her back and bringing her to us. And that as members one of another of the Church of Jesus, you have enabled us to minister to her, and now she has ministered to us. We pray for greater clarity and wisdom and discernment as she goes into the future. And we also pray for your hand upon Jacob and Liam and Ethan as well as they go into high school. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. And to Chris, we want to wish him a happy birthday today. Happy birthday, Chris. Our next person to share will be Noel. Noel is from the Filipino community, who sits right at the back there, usually. And I got talking with Noel 2 weeks ago at the soup luncheon, and he was sharing some things about how different it is to just be a person and be a Christian in the Philippines. So I asked him if he would be willing to share a bit this morning. And you don't have to feel you have to go for 10 minutes.
Sorry!
Rhian's was just right, but if you want to take a little bit less time, that's okay too. Just before you come up, I want to read from Psalm 103, the first verse of it. That is our address on William Booth, 103 William Booth Drive. So it's one of my favorite psalms, and our first psalm this morning started out like this. Oh my soul, bless God, from head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. O my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. So Noel, would you come up, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Though born
will be short. I start with my childhood in the Philippines. I came from a country that's very, you know, poverty is very prevalent. Almost everybody there doesn't have anything. So I grew up in a house with a dirt floor, no running water and no electricity. But we were happy because all the things that we need, even if we don't have money at a time, we can just get it from nature. So God is always providing all our needs, not what we want, but all that we need just to live and get by every day is provided by the Lord. Life was so hard back then that when we started to raise a family with my wife, we had to go outside of the country to earn a living just to provide for the kids. I went to work in South Korea for 3 years, and my wife followed to work in Hong Kong so that we can provide for our kids, to prepare them for the future, for their education. Then after that, an opportunity came to my wife to come to Canada. So she came to Canada in 2008, and she started working here. So after 2 years of working in Canada, she was granted the privilege to petition for her family so we could come here. But the greatest challenge of all was the waiting time. She filed for the petition for us to come here in 2010 when the kids were at school and I was there in the Philippines taking care of them. And it took us a very long time to get the petition granted. It took us almost 8 years to wait. She had to work here all alone, and I'm there taking care of the kids, waiting for us for the opportunity to come to Canada. So that was the greatest challenge of all that we had to endure. But we never lost hope. We were always praying that someday we would be the family would all be together in one place. So it took us a lot of sacrifice, especially for my wife, because she was working here all alone. Then finally in 2016, we got our visa to finally come to Canada. So we were all very happy. And so now, 3 weeks ago, it was our second year in living in Canada. So it was the biggest change in our life, because living in a country that's disasters, poverty, violence is so rampant. Finally coming to Canada and live here is, you know, it's like coming from night and going to day. So we were all very thankful to the Lord for giving us the opportunity to finally come here and live here. The kids are doing fine now. We have our two sons are attending universities now, and we have a very modest job. And most of all, we found a place here in Newmarket that we could come every Sunday and worship the Lord. So I praise and thank the Lord for changing our lives. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
really glad to have Noel and Bernadette and Crystal with us, and of course all the others from the Filipino community and others, and yet there is room. Let's just pray for Noel briefly. Lord, thank you so much for laying your hand upon Noel and Bernadette and keeping them through their struggles, their wait times, and bringing them to Canada. We're so glad that you have worked in their lives and continue to do so. Pray that you bless their two sons and their daughter Crystal as well, and their time with us. May they be a blessing to us as we are to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading the other day the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 4. And you remember the time when Peter and John were out and about in the early days of the church, and they were healing people right, left, and center, and they were speaking of the name of Jesus very clearly, and the authorities didn't like that one bit. And so if we kind of come in on one of the scenes at the beginning of Acts chapter 4, I think it is, the religious leaders sent them out of the room so that they could work out a plan. They talked it over. What can we do with these men? But now it's known all over town that a miracle has occurred and that they are behind it. There's no way we can refute that. But so that it doesn't go any further, let's silence them with threats so that they won't dare to use Jesus' name ever again with anyone. They called them back and warned them that they were on no account ever again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And here's their response. But Peter, there's another but from Pastor Keith's sermons, but Peter and John spoke right back. Whether it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than God, you decide. As for us, there's no question. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. And one of the people in our congregation who usually can't keep quiet about what he's seen and heard is Al Moyer. And Al has gone through a rather rough year and a half since losing Barb, but he has some experiences to share within a certain time frame, Al. So Al, would you come up please and share with us?
Hey, George. Thanks, Al. Thanks. Glad to hear you.
Short people. Was that sound okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to be that long. But yes, and being nervous being up here, I think I've been with this church since 2005. I think it was pretty close to 2005. So I remember getting up one morning and I said to Barbie, she said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go find a church here in Newmarket. Because I didn't have a church in Newmarket since I came back from Nova Scotia. So I checked around a few places here and there. And I remember walking here, Bob Davies was here at the time. So, and it was like I had found a home. You know, and since I've been here, it's since 2005, it's like everybody here is like family. So I don't get as nervous talking to all of you, because I see you all the time, and it's like we all grew up together. So but anyway, just what God's been doing in my life over the last little while, so just let me give you a little bit of history here. I'm going to go back to way back when I just kind of recap everything real fast. So. Imagine me as a little boy in Holland, where I grew up. Oh, and by the way, Noel, when we immigrated to Canada in 1962, we lived in this old house and had absolutely nothing and no money. When we finally moved out of that house, the house was so bad that they gave the house to the fire department to burn it down one room at a time for practice. Don't worry, Noel, it was that bad.
So anyway, so going back to the same when I was about 5 years old in Holland, we lived in a little townhouse in the Haag in Holland, in The Hague. And on the back of our townhouse was a little flat, and that was our playground. And there was a window there, and it was underground parking that we could look down through the window and watch the cars 2-3 floors down coming in through the underground parking. So my sister gets this idea, let's clean off the window. We're 5 years old, clean off the window, we both jump on the window and clean it off to look for the underground. The cars come through, and of course, the window breaks. So down I go, I hit the ground 3 floors down on this concrete. It bled out through my ears, I was unconscious, and my sister landed on top of me. So I buffered her fall. So she was out of the hospital about a week. I was in there for a long time. Anyway, so the doctor tries to wake me up out of this coma, and he keeps going, because I was Dutch, and I had an English doctor. So he kept shaking me, going, Albert, wake up, wake up. And I wouldn't wake up. So my dad happens to come in one day early from work, and the doctor's shaking me, going, Albert, wake up. And my dad says, he doesn't know what the word Albert means. So my name in Dutch is actually Uppie. So my dad went over and shook me and went, Uppie? And I go, yeah, Dad. And that's how I came out, well, no word, well, that's how I came out of the coma. So I should have died that day. And through the Lord's blessing, even at 5 years old, I didn't. So going fast forward, now I'm 21, 22 years old, reckless, doing all kinds of stupid things. Driving home down the 401 one time from Kingston, and fell asleep behind the wheel of my car, hit the back end of the tractor trailer, and I don't know if anybody knows the trip down the 401 going towards Kingston, but there's a big hill there, the Napanee Hill. And I was on that hill coming towards Toronto, and I hit that tractor trailer, and my car was a 1976 Cutlass Supreme, still remember it. And I went up and did a little tail dance, and I rolled through the median. And just as I hit the tractor trailer, I was holding on to the steering wheel and I was seeing the sky. I literally felt my hands being pulled off of that steering wheel. It was a deliberate effort. And then as the car rolled through, I went through the medium, went up on the eastbound lanes, no cars coming that hour in the morning, rolled back into the medium, my roof was down to the seat. Car came to a stop, and I was laying flat on the seat of this Cutlass Supreme for it. It was a bench seat. I kicked the door open and I slid out, and I didn't even need a band-aid. So again, the Lord's blessing on me, I survived that. The OPP came, they didn't even charge me. They said, you should be dead. So I told my car along the way went. And then as probably a lot of you know, so there's number two. So as some of you probably know, that went with me about 8 years ago. I took ill for some unknown reason, and my entire body had shut down. And this is really important. This is what I really want to share with you, because it's important what God does in my life every day. There's not a day, and there shouldn't be a day for any of us, that we don't get up, but the first thing that should be on your mind in the morning is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sleep I had last night. Thank you for the air I'm breathing today. And thanks for the sunshine I feel on my face. And I say that every morning without fail now, you know. But anyway, so I took sick. Dr. Breisner, the neurologist over here at South Lake Hospital, said it was a disease called supranuclear palsy. Never heard of that before in my life. Couldn't tell you, even today, I haven't studied it that much where I can tell you what it is, but he said it was debilitating. And I was in the hospital and he looked at Barbie and says, you've got 2 weeks, I'm sorry. So they put me with a no walking order in the hospital, moved me up to palliative care. Barbie went out and planned my funeral, bought the plot, made the arrangements at Forest and Taylor's up in Sutton. And I remember looking at her going, it'll be all right, don't worry about it. We'll get through this. What do you mean we get through this? I'm in palliative care, you know? So I lost my speech, I was unable to talk. I was unable to move. It was like having, I guess it's ALS, they call it. You're well familiar with that, with your brother, right? So I lost all my mobility skills. couldn't move. The way he put me down, I was waiting finally the next day. Had a feeding tube, still had a hole in there from the fence, like a souvenir. A hole from the feeding tube. And that's how, after 2 weeks went by, obviously I didn't pass away. So I remember them going back to Dr. Bridge and going, well, you're wrong. He's going, no, I'm not wrong. I don't know why he's still here, but I'm not wrong. And I think I was there for probably about 3 months or so. We had my birthday, Mandy, in the hospital, and a few other, anyway, so it was about midsummer, about August that I came home, around August. They sent me home at the hospital bed because I didn't pass away. They couldn't keep me in palliative care any longer. So Bertie said, well, I'll take him home. So here I am at home with my hospital bed at home. You know, Crystal got married. It was at Crystal's wedding in a wheelchair. Whatever that group of people is that takes care of people like me when I was sick. Anyway, they built me this big wheelchair because I'm such a big guy. So the wheelchair was like, they had it on a tilt so I could see part of the wedding. You know, so I was at that, and I had a lot of memory last year during my illness because I was sick for about a year. And then Krista came to see me after she got back from the honeymoon. She helped me sit up in bed in my house. And this PSW lady, Sophie, if you remember her, a Russian lady, came to the house one day. She sent Barbie shopping because she thought Barbie needed a relief to get out. And she helped me stand up for the first time in almost a year. She helped me stand up on my own feet. So I had this walker, four-legged walker, and she brought the wheelchair up behind me. And she said, if you fall, you'll fall into the wheelchair, you won't fall on the floor. And of course, I couldn't speak, because I still had the feeding tube and everything else. All I could do was just kind of nod my head a little bit, but she helped me do that. Over a period of about a month or so, I managed to walk across my living room. And about a month and a half later, I managed to get across the living room there and back. That was a victory, and by that point we had to tell Barbie that we were sneaking around trying to walk while she wasn't home, because she would flip, right? But again, by the Lord's graces, and I remember being in the hospital, I just want to really add this, I remember being in the hospital and the doctor told me I wasn't going to make it, and I had 2 weeks. And your faith sustains you. I was in that hospital, and I remember crying in the hospital every day when I turned the lights out, and I kept going, Lord, I'm ready. Take me, I'm ready. I know where I'm going. I'm not concerned. I had concern about did I do enough for Barbie and the kids to survive. But if I'd have passed away right there in the hospital, I would have been quite content. So your faith really does carry you. And I think after these three incidents in my life, and you can't make this stuff up, guys. You know, this stuff really did happen. It's only strengthened my testimony. And, I don't want to take too much of your time here. But I can't help but when I meet people and they look down and I go, listen, man, I got to tell you a story. So whenever you're down and you're feeling bad or your illness is getting at you, look at me, I'm 2 hip replacements later. I walk at least 6 to 10 kilometers a day. I'm a locator. I walk highways every day on these 2 boiled hips that the good Lord has placed in me, you know. And with such great people around me that I see all the time that help me with my walk, I really feel it's important that we all get out there and share these stories. You know, like Noel said, I found a nice place here in Newmarket to come and worship on Sunday, you know. And we should be telling everybody that. I have a friend of mine that will be coming with me shortly here, and because I work with him. He's seldom been into a church. And now he's coming to me saying, Al, because you always tell me your story and your belief, it's rubbing off on me, and I think I need to come with you to service. And I'm going, yes, that's what I'm here for. So I used to question myself, why has the Lord kept me here? Why is Barbie gone? Why am I going through this by myself now? And I'm going, I need to turn a new page of my life. Whatever his story is for me, it's perfect. And I've said this to Gina many times over the past, and I heard a sermon about this before, because we don't know what God's full picture is in our lives. We don't know. You probably didn't know 40 years ago or 30 years ago that you were coming to Canada. You know, I would have known in 1962 that my dad was going to come to Canada, but we know what the full picture is. And then I see Barbie gone, and it was a really, really tough year. I lost my mom about 5 months after Barbie passed, and that was tough. So I lost both the big women in my life in 1 year. I got a choice. I had to sit there and go home and get depressed and shake my hand at God and go, why? How dare you? Or I can go, thank you. Thank you for that 30 years. Thank you for the beautiful kids that I have, the grandchildren, the two more that are coming. You know, I didn't see that picture 2 years ago. I wouldn't have known, right? And now, in this situation, I'm starting to look at it. And like I said to Jim before, with the sermon, if you knew the whole picture, someday we're going to stand before Jesus and we're all going to go, perfect, perfect. If I had known at the time that you did this, God, if I had known at the time that you took Barbie, that this would have happened, perfect. She may have been sick for a long time, she may have went through a lot of pain, she may have went through an illness for years and years and years. And we would have all had to suffer with that. Or she was gone in 2 weeks. Perfect. And she's home. She's promoted to glory. She's where she should be. And I will see her again. Perfect. Right? So you got to think about that. Every time a little bit of trouble happens in your lives, and this is my story. This is what I tell people. So if you're asking how God's working in my life, every morning I get up and go, perfect. Today's another perfect day. And it's going to be exactly the way you had it planned, right? We were talking today about that catastrophe in the States. We don't know what the whole story is. And yes, always, let's pray for all those people because they're going through such really rough times. But in the end, you have to believe God has the whole picture under control. Nothing happens without Him. You got to say, perfect. In the end, we're all going to go, okay, perfect world. So anyway, that's my story. That's what I wanted to share with you. And I hope it inspires you a little bit because I talk to everybody about it. I could go on for a whole day talking about all the things that God has done in my life to interact. I could write a book that would be probably 3,000 pages, but you haven't got time for that. All right, thank you.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, Al.
Shorter ones. Al didn't mention one particular thing, and I love your testimony, Al. Thank you for sharing your story. I've gone through this a lot with Al since he came to the church and was part of our original men's group. It was at the height of his struggles while he was still in the hospital that I mentioned to Pastor Keith, maybe we should go over and pray for Al. So Keith and Annette and I went and prayed, and of course I think Keith's prayers were a little more brilliant than mine, but it was incredible. That was, I think, a turning point, maybe the turning point for you, am I right? And 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, he came through those doors when I was ushering, and I just about fell over. Couldn't believe this was Al, who was so sick and near death 3-4 weeks before that. So, thanks for the story. Let's pray for Al. Lord, thank you that you can do wonders and miracles above and beyond what we ask or even think. And thank you for our imagination, and we can use the negative experiences that we have and allow you to work out your good and perfect will, which is far better than what we can ever expect or imagine. So thank you for Al's testimony, and we pray that you keep him walking well and just living to enjoy you and share you. Thank you for joining us shared this morning, and send us forth with your blessing today. Amen.
Amen.
what you're saying about how God, you know, sees everything. After I was watching a show, believe it or not, a Marvel show on Netflix, and he was talking about a tapestry, how God sees the tapestry perfectly. He has that, he's designed it perfectly. But we see it this side of heaven, we see it on the other side, and at the back of the tapestry, it's all muddled, right? We see a little bit, but it's all muddled. And so, like, that hit me. It's so true. He sees it with clarity. He knows, and we don't quite know. But thank God we have a God who loves us, who knows. He's a good father. And so just this week, go thinking that, you know what, he's planned that beautiful tapestry, that he has a reason for everything, and that we just have to trust that he's doing everything for good. So God bless you all. Thanks for worshiping today.